Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome in. Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. It's Tuesday, which means Redskins Survivor. You can go to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny throughout the show today to vote a Redskin off the island to give a Redskin immunity after a week 12 game. There will be four players remaining at the end of this week as we count you down to one remaining Redskin on Redskins Survivor. Speaking of the Skins, at 10:30, we'll come up with a slogan for the rest of the season. Why, you ask? Well, the Broncos and their coach, Vance Joseph, came up with the single worst slogan I've ever heard in sports.
They're just looking for something.
So that's what they're going with this week. We'll tell you what that slogan is and why it's awful. But what should be the slogan for the Redskins in the final month of their year? We'll get into that today. Also, their needs as we look ahead to the draft and to free agency with four games to go in a season in which it does not look like a playoff game will be competed in, at least for Washington. One team that will make the playoffs is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They improved to an AFC best 10-2 with a come-from-behind victory last night. This was an outstanding football game. Steelers outscoring the Bengals 13-0 in the fourth quarter to win. They trailed 10-0 and then 17-3. And Danny, as I was watching the game, it never really felt to me like Pittsburgh wasn't going to win.
They were just toying with Cincinnati. Or like they didn't feel like it. Then you just knew they were going to hit the gas and come back and win that game, didn't you? Didn't you have that feeling?
Maybe it's because Ben Roethlisberger is so good late in games and on those final drives. And so you felt like if they have the ball with a chance to go down and get points in a decisive opportunity, he'll come through. But I just never, even at 17-3 in the second half, at any point thought, they're not going to win this game. They got big defensive stops, and they made some huge plays in the passing game with Le'Veon Bell going for 100 yards out of the backfield and a touchdown. Antonio Brown, 8 catches for 100 yards and a score. He was targeted 15 times in a game he almost didn't play in, had to test pregame, an injury that a lot of people thought was going to keep him on the sideline. But the story of the game, Pete mentioned this was a violent contest in his update, and he's
That's
right.
That's an understatement, yeah.
I mean, this was kind of just a savage ball game. This was one of those where I hope that Pittsburgh area native at one point in time, I guess he wouldn't be a native, but who lived there, Bennett Amalu, was not watching this game because there was one bone-rattling, head-scrambling blow after another. Ryan Shazier got carted off and taken to a hospital with a back injury. It was one of the scarier-looking injuries of the season where he clearly had no feeling in his legs when he was put on a stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
There was a statement released late last night by general manager Kevin Colbert of the Steelers. He said, his statement, Ryan Shazier suffered a back injury, taken to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. He had a CT scan and an MRI to evaluate the condition of his back. Ryan's injury will not require surgery at this time. He continues to improve. He will stay overnight to continue evaluations with the hopes of returning to Pittsburgh on Tuesday. We will provide further updates at the appropriate time. But that was a frightening-looking injury.
So here's what's the scariest for me. It reminded me of Dale Earnhardt in the sense that it didn't look that bad live, right? It just looked like another innocuous play. It's a 5-yard gain. A tackle was made. Let's go back to the huddle. And, of course, he doesn't move. He instantly grabs his back, and the next thing you know, he's not moving
well,
at all.
Well, he flipped his body over like Lieutenant Dan, you know, in the scene where he wants ice cream, where he's just kind of flipping his entire body. But his legs from, you know, his belt down weren't moving.
Right.
And he started kind of grabbing at his thighs and then took his helmet off, and you could just see the fear and the pain.
Of course.
I can't even imagine.
And not to get too far away from just talking about Ryan Shazier himself, and all I can hope is that he's okay and that everything works out fine. But this is something that I know a lot of guys in my peer group, and I know myself, I'm watching this game, and I feel guilt because I tacitly endorse this. In other words, when I am a patron of the NFL, I do all my FanDuel leagues, I do drafts, and I'm a fantasy football player, and I watch every game, and I love it, and I consume it. I'm basically endorsing this. I'm basically saying, I'm fine with all this. I'm fine with without the best safety measures. I'm fine with these guys putting themselves on the line and whatever else. And a lot of people are turned off by it, and I get that. It's part of this ratings conversation that's kind of ongoing. People know more than they did before. And the more you know, the more information, the kind of sort of bargain you've got to make with yourself to say, is this worth it to me? And for a lot of people, for tens of millions of people, of course it's still worth it because right. You get great entertainment. But for some, it's not. When you talk about Aaron Rodgers, who's got a broken collarbone coming back this year, just for the hopes of that Green Bay might be able to sneak into the playoffs, and a lot of guys are going, wait, what? You're talking about changing this guy's life. And something happened last night on a simple, innocuous play for Shazier. He'll never be the same. And that's terrifying. So that a number of things come out of that. That's the first. The second is, I will never, ever, ever again begrudge a guy for trying to squeeze the last drop out of an organization, for getting as much money as they possibly can, ever. I used to think they were the greediest this, and somehow the owners were able to frame that. I will never begrudge somebody for getting as much as they can.
Every time you step on the field in this league, you are risking not being able to walk again. I mean, that's
not hyperbole
not
either.
Overstated, as we have seen time and time again. Remember the former Redskins safety, Matt Stevens, went on to play with the Texans and ended up, I believe, in a wheelchair, whatever the situation was for him, as he was partially paralyzed. And you hope that Shazier's walking around this morning and that he'll be back on the field very soon for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the risk is always there. And I will never begrudge these players who hold out to get every dime. Because the teams move on from you the second that they can. As soon as you're no longer of use to Pittsburgh or Washington or anybody else, they will cut you to the curb.
And we applaud them for it, by the way.
Here was Mike Tomlin last night on the Shazier injury.
But make no mistake, man. This is a tough game, tough business, man. 5-0 is our brother. My thoughts and prayers are out to him. I don't have any update in terms of his status. Obviously, he's receiving quality medical care. We'll release, an update at the appropriate time. Right now, we're just happy that he's getting the necessary medical attention that he deserves. And, he got a lot of brothers in there that are thoughtful about him and, wanted to honor that performance and for him.
That was the scariest moment of the game. There was another big hit that led to another player carted off, and it was a hit that shouldn't have happened, unlike that one, which you basically couldn't have helped. Juju Smith-Schuster is a beloved rookie wide receiver with Pittsburgh. One of the reasons they like him so much in Pittsburgh is he's got a little Hines Ward to him. He blocks. He throws his body around. He's a great young talent. And Vontaze Burfict was kind of enemy of the state number one. The history of the Bengals and the Steelers is dirty hits and violent collisions and guys being carted off the field. I mean, these two teams have more personal foul penalties against each other last few years than any other rivalry in the sport.
And it's going back. There's some history to it, too. You're right.
Juju Smith-Schuster blew up Burfict last night on a block. That just was unnecessary. Vontaze Burfict is kind of giving chase. He's not looking in any way at Juju Smith-Schuster as he's approaching the ball carrier. Smith-Schuster could have either just gotten in his way or shoved him instead. He delivers a shoulder blow basically to the upper chest of Vontaze Burfict. So was it dirty? I don't think it was necessarily dirty in the sense that it wasn't helmet to helmet. It was completely unnecessary, so if you deem that dirty, then that's going to be how you view it. But the big problem was after.
This is what I couldn't
stand. He destroyed Vontaze Burfict, who's known as one of the dirtiest players in the league and has done this exact hit to six or seven guys probably in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He stood over top of him and stared down and taunted him. So he was flagged 15 yards for the personal foul penalty on the unnecessary hit and 15 yards for the taunting. For whatever reason, you don't get penalized 30, which I think you should. They decline the first of the two penalties, which was the roughing. They keep the taunting because you get a couple of those, you get kicked out of the game.
Right.
But Mike Tomlin talked about Juju Smith-Schuster's hit and then standing over Burfict, just a terrible look for the kid receiver.
You know, he shouldn't have stood over him. Sometimes the detail of the hit and the nature of the hit, you look at the video and you coach off the video. Obviously, we don't want to be penalized. We want to play within the rules. We respect player safety. I can assess judgment on the fact that he stood over him, and that's not how we play. That's not reflective of the sportsman that he is, and I'm sure he's sorry for that.
To me, he should be fined for that hit because I think you want to clean up.
Agreed.
Unnecessary blows like that. He should not be suspended. Had he have gone helmet to helmet, if he put the crown of his helmet into the face mask of Vontaze Burfict and just destroyed him, like we've seen a couple hits. Remember, I think it was Brandon Marshall on Davante Adams early this year in the Broncos-Packers game, something
good
like
pull
that.
On that.
That's, to me, more suspendable. What Rob Gronkowski did after a play, got a one-game suspension, we found out yesterday. Those are the hits where you miss playing time. This is a fine, but the standing over him is, to me, a way bigger deal than the actual block.
100% agree. Heat of the moment. I always default, as you guys know, if you listen to this program, to the player. He's hustling back to try to make a play. It turns into a violent collision because Perfect doesn't see him coming, and it's probably harder than it needs to be. You're right. He could have just gotten in his way, but I would encourage receivers to default to that over just sort of not hustling back at all, DeSean Jackson style. So I'll take that. The standing over him, to me, tells you everything you need to know. That's the, we don't like this guy. We're glad that you're hurt. We're glad that this happened. That needs to be stamped out of the game. You got to be better than the guy that you're supposedly doing that to. Because in the interview post-game where Schuster's talking about it, Antonio Brown's right behind him yelling, karma, karma. Please don't do that. Please don't do that at all. If you're upset about somebody, you don't like them, fine. You get to take the high ground. You lost that ability yesterday.
I don't think they knew he was hurt or they wouldn't have yelled that. I mean, if they just think he got destroyed on a block, 15-yard penalty, and he's about to pop right back up and talk trash, then yelling karma isn't as bad. To me, it's still silly. But
it's like Brown post-game is doing that. I mean, he got carted off the field.
Oh, I thought you said he was doing it after
the
play.
No, no, no. Post-game. So Smith-Schuster is getting interviewed, and Antonio Brown's changing behind him yelling karma.
Yeah.
That's a terrible look to me.
Yeah, that is bad. I didn't see that video. That's rough. The Killer Bees is what they call the Steelers' top players. Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. They could add Boswell to that. Chris Boswell, their kicker. Do you realize? I understand their record's 10-2. They haven't lost a bad game in a while now, going all the way back to that Jacksonville game in early October. But he has made 3 game-winning field goals at the gun in the last month. Last night over the Bengals, he beat the Packers 31-28 a couple weeks ago, and they beat the Colts in mid-November. All 3 at the horn with him drilling one through the uprights.
To win the game for Pittsburgh, and it is good. He's done it again, and the Steelers have done it again to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Sean McDonough on the call on ESPN last night. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will pick a slogan for the final month of the Redskins season at 10:30. Next, hey, Washington is not the biggest joke in the NFC East.
We're not the worst. We're not the worst.
The Giants fired their coach, and they're going back to the quarterback they just benched. This is Redskins-esque. We'll get to that next on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.